Well, this is the summer of miracles. All summer long, we're looking at the miracles of Jesus. The miracles he performed when he was alive on earth in physical form. 3.5 years of ministry and miracle after miracle. This is the opportunity each of us have to press in for a miracle. We speak to the impossible during this summer. We speak to mountains during this summer. And don't give up on your miracle. Today, I'm looking at another miracle Jesus performed in Matthew chapter 15, beginning with verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan, not a Jew, she was a Greek. She was not an insider, she was an outsider. A woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." One translation says, "My daughter is grievously vexed by devils." But he answered her, "Not a word." And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And then she came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." Shocking. And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then, after all that, then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be unto you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Just a little crumb that fell from the master's table is all she knew it needed to get the miracle she was asking for. I'm talking this morning about a crumb in a crisis. This is another sermon in the Summer of Miracles series. Now, this woman had a crisis in her house. Some of you know what that's like. You've had one. Some of you may currently have a crisis in your house. And for this lady, the crisis was so bad, it forced her out from where she was. The home, which should have been her sanctuary, unchallenged. Peace rules all the time, but now it was more like a war zone than a peaceful sanctuary. The home she lived in, it was her comfort zone. She could live there and enjoy life in her home, surrounded by what was familiar to her. But the crisis was so bad, it was none of the above. And she took action to do something about it. Now, there are two trains of thought, and both have merit, and you need to listen. Both are good, but we need to know when the right time is for either. One train of thought is, if you're in need and you're believing God for a miracle, just wait on the Lord. You've heard that, "Wait, oh, and yea, again I say, wait thou on the Lord." There's a time to wait on the Lord. And then there's another train of thought. And this lady realized, waiting is over for me. I can't wait any longer. And so instead of buying into the mindset of just wait on the Lord and that has merit, you need to know when to do that. She took action and she came to him. She was an outsider from a different nation, may have spoken a different language. There were barriers of every kind. There were social barriers, economic barriers. There were geographical barriers. She had to leave her homeland and walk a long way. But she came to him. Now, you can just wait on the Lord, and sometimes that's the thing to do. And then there are times when you can no longer wait, and you must come to him. And it was that time for her. We need to know when to wait, and we need to know when to move forward. Now, when you really have a crisis at your house, when you are really in trouble at your house, you will go out of your way to come to him. The first thing she said when she got to him, overcoming all of the challenges and obstacles to come to where he was, she said, "Have mercy on me." She threw herself on his mercy. Hey, I've never been the sharpest tack in the drawer. Never. I'm not a very stable genius most of the time. But I've always known. Always. I learned early on, when I come to the Lord, I never come and say, "Do you know who I am?" No. Every time I've ever approached him, I've always known it. I mean, I think my mom and dad and my Sunday school teachers had a lot. As a little boy, you know, I was born at 9:45 on Sunday morning. It was a 15-minute drive to church. I was raised at least to respect the mercy of God, and I have always thrown myself on his mercy. Never asked for justice. And this lady too, she said, "I don't deserve what I'm asking for. I know I'm an outsider. I know I'm not one of you. I know there are others way, way, way ahead of me in line. And it's not my turn, but it's my time. Have mercy on me. My daughter is at home severely possessed with demons." Now, we don't like to talk a lot about demons on Sunday mornings anymore, but they are very real. We have already established that everything natural and visible is influenced by that which is spiritual and invisible. Now, we like to talk about angels. We believe in angels, but we stop short of looking at their counterpart, demons. Demons are real. Now, I'm not going to overinflate their ego today, because we resist them. Just like take your pinky and resist them and they flee. So greater is he. We know all that. But you can't believe in the light if you deny there is darkness. And this lady had a crisis. Her daughter was grievously vexed with demons. But this mother threw herself on the mercy of the Lord Jesus. And here's what happened. She had gone to great effort. She had left home. She had gotten out of her comfort zone. She had left that which was familiar. The crisis in her house had driven her to Jesus. She had heard he could solve the problem. And she overcome every challenge to get to where he was and beg him for mercy. And here's what Jesus did. Nothing. He answered her not a word. That's amazing. It's been here for 2,000 years. This story really happened. It's not a parable that Jesus told. This was an event, a historical event. And this lady, under all these horrible circumstances, begging for his mercy, calling him Lord, even though she was Greek and not Jewish, she addressed him by his messianic name, Son of David. She, in other words, said, I'm not supposed to know this about you, but I know who you are, and I know you are my answer. Please have mercy on me. Lord, she called him Lord. And he answered not a word. He ignored her. Have you ever begged for God's mercy in a crisis? Run to him. Know who to run to. You find yourself at his feet begging for mercy, and he doesn't say anything to you? Well, I have. I've been there. Probably you have too. How we handle it at that moment is critical. I've never said, well, to heck with that, I'm out of here. No. I've never said, well, if that's all I'm going to get out of him, I'm going to try another God and see if that works. But no, no. Maybe I am a very stable genius. At least I've never considered leaving this God in search of another one. But it is a test when you throw yourself on his mercy. You're in the middle of a crisis. You need a miracle, and you beg him for it, and he answers not a word. He ignored her, and the test is surviving silence. When all heaven is silent, God doesn't seem to speak anything new to you, and you're desperate. Now, here we are. We're in church. You look good this morning, the many hundreds of you. And you're dressed up. You smell good. I've gotten close enough to some of you to smell. I've taken a whiff of you this morning. And you're smelling good. And you're looking good this morning. And here we are in church, and we know how to act when we get a miracle. We need to know what to do when God is silent. I want to give you three miracle busters today. There are certain things we can do to work more closely with God as we believe him for a miracle. And there are certain things we can do that will become obstacles and will hinder us from receiving our miracle. I call the hindrances miracle busters, and I have three of them for you. Number one, miracle buster number one is harboring an offense. This woman, I think, had a arguable case for an offense, if there is such a thing. I mean, she had every opportunity to be bitter and completely offended at the Lord because she had gone to all this trouble. Her faith was high. She had left home and made her way to where he was and pleaded her case and begged for mercy. And he ignored her and didn't say a word. Well, some of us would have been offended right there. We would have harbored an offense. We'd have called game over at that point. So miracle buster number one is harboring an offense. Stay on guard against any root of bitterness, any offense, certainly from God. I've met a few people who said they were offended at God. Hey, that's got to be the worst. But other people who offend you, don't harbor it. Don't let it become something that's rotten on the inside of you that will eat you alive. So an offense and holding on to it will rob you of a miracle if you're not careful. He ignored her, and she wasn't offended. And then he refused her. He said, I've not come to meet needs of people like you. I'm here for the Jewish people. And he was sent to the Jews first, you know, for a long time. Or for a short time. Let's say short time. Thank God it was a short time. But there was a short time that his active ministry was focused and directed to the Jewish people. The Bible says he came to the Jews first, but then it wasn't long before he sent signals and then died for everybody that His blood was shed for the sins of the entire world. That includes Christians today, Buddhists, Muslims, atheists, deists, agnostics, the ugly people, the pretty people. He died for all of them. But at that early stage of his ministry, when his time had not yet fully come to be revealed as all he was to the world, he said to her, I've not come for people like you. You're not a Jew. You're a Gentile. You're a Greek lady. You're from Canaan. You're not from Israel. I've been sent to minister to the lost sheep of Israel. And he refused her. Now, she could have been offended. She could have started complaining to Jesus right then. But you need to know when you're in need that a complaint won't attract Jesus to your crisis. But God moves when we worship him in the middle of trouble. And let me tell you, after he ignored her and then refused her, instead of harboring an offense, she did the most incredible thing. The Bible says, then she came and worshiped him. My God, it's getting good. I don't even believe in goosebumps, but I just felt one. Well, you got to picture it. Her daughter, do you love your children? Anybody in here love your children? If the devil was possessing your daughter, if it was such a crisis that you personally were going through and you made your way to where Jesus was and you threw yourself on his mercy, you acknowledged his lordship, you called him Son of David, and you begged him for mercy for your daughter, and he ignored you and didn't say anything to you, and he refused you and said, you don't qualify, you're not an Israeli. How many of us would pass the test at that level to say, she worshiped him? Well, I know you don't answer me. I know you've ignored me, Lord. And, Lord, you just refused me. But here's what I'm going to do about it. And she worshiped. Some of the most beautiful worship I've ever seen has come in a person's life when they are so desperate for God and they would have a natural right, so the mind might say, to postpone their worship and wait until God comes through at least a little bit, at least until they get a crumb from the table, at least until they get a sign that God's alive and looking at their need. But no, this woman had not been given any tangible hope by the Lord himself that he was on the move in her direction. In fact, the opposite. He ignored her, then refused her. And then what did she do about it? Then she came and worshiped him. Miracle buster number two is our failure to worship. The idea we have that, well, God's worth worshiping, but I'm going to wait till he comes through with this. Now, I got a party plan for him after he comes through with this. But now I'm going to wait until I know full well it's a done deal and he fully deserves it. Then I'm going to release some worship on the Lord my God. No, you don't postpone your praise. You don't delay your worship and wait to worship until later. No, right in the middle, after she was ignored and then refused. Well, we would have packed and left, some of us. No, she said, oh, I'm going to worship you right now. Hey, when you have a crisis, you will be tested. She was ignored and refused, and that would have stopped a weaker woman. And it gets worse. After being ignored, and I don't understand. I wouldn't have done this, I don't think. I just don't think I would have. but I'm not God, and be grateful. But it got worse after he ignored her and then refused her. He went a step further and insulted her and said, it's not right for me to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. Am I missing something, or did he call her a dog? I would not have chosen that strategy if I were Jesus. Probably. I mean, but he did. And how many of you know he is too kind to be cruel and too wise to make a mistake? So I'm going to quickly pull down all the strongholds in my mind as to, I don't know why he did that. I wouldn't have done that. My God, what was Jesus thinking? I'm going to pull all those strongholds down, and I'm going to get on the same page with him, because after all, he's kind and he's loving and he's wise and he always knows what he's doing, and I seldom know what I'm doing. Called her a dog. Why would Jesus do that? In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2 gives us a hint. It says, you shall remember the Lord your God. It was he who led you all the way through the wilderness these 40 years to humble you and to test you to know what was in your heart. So sometimes while we're pressing in for a miracle in the middle of a crisis, God will test our faith to see what quality it is. And waiting for your miracle is not a waste of your time, but a test of your faith. He's going to test you. It will humble you. But when the test is finished, and we all pass, it's passable, it's an open book test, our faith will be confirmed. Now, God tests his people to confirm their faith in him. It's all in the Bible. Now, if I was God, I'd have set up a different plan probably. Well, Lord, I don't want to test these people, Father. Well, I'm glad God the Father didn't choose me to be the son. At least the first one. I am a son now, but I wouldn't have wanted to fill Jesus' shoes. But he always knew what he was doing. 1 Timothy 3:10 says, they must first be tested, then let them serve. First tested, and then approved for service. David, the psalmist, said in Psalm 34 and verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Listen, God is good all the time, of course, and he wants so very much to be trusted. Not just when we're in a crisis and we're forced to trust him, but even when he's good. So many people pass the test of poverty and fail the test of prosperity. But God wants us to taste his ways and learn about his goodness. And blessed is the man who trusts in him. He wants so much to be trusted. And then now the third and the last miracle buster. The first is harboring an offense. We don't want to do that. That'll block your miracle. And the second one is failure to worship. You go ahead even when he doesn't answer you. Even when he ignores you and refuses you and insults you if he does, you go ahead and worship him. You tell him, hey, I'm going to worship you right now. And then the third miracle buster that will block your miracle is a lack of persistence. And you're going to have to prove how tough you are. You're going to have to prove if you are easily wavered. But this lady was a persistent woman. And she was persistent straight out the gate. First thing the disciples said, please send her away. She's bothering us. She's getting in our business. Make her go away, Lord. She's crying out after us. I mean, she was persistent from the moment she left her house, I'm sure. She had to be persistent. How many hundreds of opportunities must she have had to say, I just can't climb another rock. I just can't walk another mile. I'm just going to turn around and go back home and live with it. But no, she was persistent. And when Jesus gave her the ultimate insult, it's not right for me to take children's bread. Everybody say, children's bread. And throw it to the dogs, he said. Not right. What an insult. Here's her response. Because of her persistence, she said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs are allowed to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She knew that what feels like a crisis will only take a crumb when it comes from the master's table. It's more than enough to meet her needs. And she was a persistent woman. Have you ever met any persistent women? Hey, that's a question for the men's meeting one of these days, if we dare. Hey, boys, it's just boys in here tonight. Have any of y'all ever met a persistent woman? Oh, no, that's a can of worms. We're going to leave a lid on that. But here was one, the star of our story today. The one who received what she needed from God, she received it because of her persistence. Yes, Lord, you're right about the children's bread being thrown to dogs. You're right about that, but even a dog is allowed to lick up a crumb. And she knew just a crumb from the children's bread. Hello, listen, healing is the children's bread. Just a crumb. Not the whole loaf, not the whole bread. Just a crumb from the children's bread is enough to bring healing to a house in crisis. Now, as I age, and I'm glad I'm aging. I am. I'm glad I'm aging slowly. But I'm not against aging. I want to age for a long time. But as I get older, songs from a generation past come to mind. And the sad thing is, our children who grew up in wonderful churches, but we have not taught them all of the wonderful songs that meant a lot to us. And occasionally, one will come back to me, and this is such a simple lyric. If you weren't around groups that sang this, let me tell you how it would happen. It's when the old timers would get together to worship God and they needed a solution to their problem, and life was harder for them than it is for us. Believe it or not, much harder for them. And when they got together to worship, a little band of believers would get together, and if anybody in the group needed God to come through for them, all of them would break out in this little song, and it just simply said, I would not be denied. No, I would not be denied. Till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. Anybody ever heard that song? Look at you young people. You don't even know what I'm talking about. For those of you who heard it sung, help me sing it. I would not be denied. I would not be. Come on, sing it out. Till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. This woman knew how to get what she needed from God. She was persistent. And she would not let go. Now, here's the truth about a crumb in closing. She said, yes, Lord, you're right. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing for you to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. My daughter is a dog, maybe. We're an outsider. And it's not right to take children's bread, healing, and throw it on the floor for a dog. But a dog is allowed to eat the crumb that falls. from the master's table. And here's what she knew about a crumb. This is the truth about a crumb. You can take a crumb. If you don't have the whole bread, you just have a crumb. You can take that crumb, send it to the laboratory. They can do an analysis and print you out a chart of all the ingredients in that crumb. Here's what you'll find out about the crumb. It will give you the truth about the whole bread. You can take a crumb, send it to the laboratory. They can send you back the recipe how to bake the bread. This woman knew if there's flour in the crumb, there's flour in the bread. If there's sugar in the crumb, there's sugar in the bread. And she knew just one crumb of the children's bread is all she would need to bring healing to her house and deliver her vexed daughter from demons. Healing is the children's bread. Healing is the children's bread. And just one crumb is all you need. We're believing God for one another. Travis, I see you here. We miss you and Sandra. Pray for you every day. And we see her back in here with you. We say she's on the list of survivors. A crumb for your house today. Sue and Billy Driggers are not here today. Sue was in the hospital for 2 or 3 days this past week, going through a battery of tests, and we're believing for a crumb. All we need is don't send the whole loaf down there, just a crumb in a crisis, because healing is the children's bread. I see Mark Smith over here. I know he's been getting healed for a few months now. You're looking good too, by the way. You're on the right road, headed in the right direction. And so many of our people are in need of a crumb. And today we know it's all necessary is just a crumb. Just a crumb. What's in the full bread is in the crumb you'll receive. Would you stand with me, please?